Good morning, church. Today is April the 4th. I'm very happy to be able to meet everybody over the internet. This experience probably not strange to any of you. As you probably know by now that we have moved for English, almost 90% of our meetings over to online. So after the worship this morning, we will have our regular monthly English prayer meeting right after the worship. So please stay behind. And also we have Sunday school next week. And for the Cantonese, they have converted almost 90% of the meetings over to online. And for Mandarin, it's 100%. They're always more familiar with online meetings. And I want to continue to encourage everybody to be updated with the news, watch the news every day, but watch the BC, Health Agency news. Don't spend too much time on all the internet stories that have been floating around. I receive a lot of them. And spend more time in reading the Bible, but do watch and listen to the instruction and orders from the health agency. So every day I listen and I watch, and the message is always the same. But for this week, we are week 9 into this pandemic for BC. We're week 9. So week 10 is the critical. So this week, they emphasize that we have to follow the order for the older people to stay home, younger people to stay apart. And I saw a cartoon. Someone sent me a cartoon, very interesting. I don't have PowerPoint. The cartoon says, first time in history that we can save humanity by staying at home, doing nothing except watching TV. So first time in our history that we can stay home and do nothing, just watch TV, and we can save the world, save humanity. Of course, I'm sure most of us are not staying at home and doing nothing. We are working, or at least if you are not working, read your Bible. So there's something besides watching TV at home. And all of us must be really tired, and including pastors. I have to say that I'm a bit exhausted the last few weeks. And I keep telling the members that, you know, China built a hospital in 10 days, and we try to build a virtual church, online church, maybe better, online church in 10 days. And I think we, to some extent, we have accomplished that. Now we're able to connect most people through online meetings or WhatsApp. The Cantonese also created a WhatsApp community, about 120 people, because some of the seniors at the Cantonese congregation, they're not that familiar with online. But they all have a cell phone, I'm surprised. Most of even the seniors, they know how to use WhatsApp. So Pastor Wem has created a WhatsApp community for the seniors. So we're using we exhausted our intelligence, experience, and knowledge of all this online media to keep the church going. And I'm sure, like myself, you must have been asking, why? Why is this happening? In the past epidemics, we always sort of watching overseas, watching other countries suffer. We always kept a distance. But now it is here. The pandemic is here. The virus is here. Why around us? Why? What are we going to do? When is this going to be over? Why is God allowing this to happen? If you open your Bible. So I'm not going to use PowerPoint now. Maybe it's good that you can now bring your Bible. Just go to your bedroom, look for your Bible now, and see if you can still find it, or turn on your cell phone. Now you're allowed to use your cell phone. Turn to your Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. To work together for good. Paul did not say that All things are good. The virus is good. Sickness is good. Infection is good. Death is good. Paul did not say that. But he said that all things do work together for good. So there's a difference. The virus is not a good thing. I'm sure we all agree. Sickness is not good. But when we put all this together, it is for good. It's for something good. What is it good for me? I ask. People are suffering, losing their job, business are closing, people getting sick, scared, worried about the future. So what good can it come out of this virus? The virus is not good, but all this put together is for something that is good. When I was young, my mom sometimes went to see the Chinese herbal doctors when we were sick, when we were really young. We don't know how to refuse to drink those awful medicines. So when we were young, sometimes my mom still believed in all this herbal medicine. So she would take us to see a herbal doctor, and then she would bring home all these very kind of herbal ingredients, some even insects and bugs and dry bugs and all this. You know? So you put it in the pot and add water and a whole pot of water and then boil it for the whole day until this whole pot, the water is all evaporated. Then you end up with one small bowl of black, dark liquor, really thick. And then you ask us to drink it. So we were small, so you have to do what your mom tells you. So taste just awful. And I said, Mom, you don't want to drink it. It tastes terrible. Is there something better to drink? My mom always said that it tastes good for you. The medicine may not be good, but it's good for you. All this happening is not good. Virus is not good. Death is not good. Fear is not good. But it's for something good. Then how come we do not feel this good? From God. What's the good? How good is it? Why is it so good? We have to look at verse 28 more closely. There is a prerequisite before you can see the good. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. There is a prerequisite there first. You can only see the good from God if you love God. That's a prerequisite. If you are just a nominal Christian, you won't be able to see the good. You will be suffering like other people. What is a nominal Christian? So I looked up, I found a really good definition. If you never have a testimony about how Christ is working in your life, you may be a Christian in name only. I'll repeat that. If you never have a testimony about how Christ is working in your life, you may be a Christian in name only. That means you can talk all about Christ day and night. You could be teaching Sunday school. You may be even standing up here and preaching. You may be able to do exegesis, hermeneutics, analyze the Bible to death, you know, all the Hebrew words, the Greek. But if someone asks you to share your God's work in your life for the last few days, and you have nothing to share, then you better be careful. Or you have never shared about what God is doing in your life for the last month, for the last year, or you never really experienced God's work in your life, then you have to be careful. Maybe you are just a nominal Christian. Maybe you're just a Christian by name. Only the ones who really love God can are connected with God. Those who are in Christ, I have been put to death on the cross. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been put to death on the cross with Christ. Still I am living, no longer I, but Christ is living in me. Is Christ living in you? Only if Christ is living in you, that you are connected with God, then you can see the good in the overall picture of this pandemic or any challenging situation, any crisis. So that is the requirement. It's a requirement for us to reflect at this moment. How much do you love God? That's why I've been preaching over and over again. We have to always reflect and repent so that we can revive. All things work together for those who love God. There's a second requirement as well before you can see the good in this crisis. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, number one, and to those who are called according to His purpose. According to His purpose. God has an eternal purpose that cannot be circumvented. God has a purpose. Even man can't try to deviate. And sometimes God has used crisis to bring people back to His purpose. And pandemic is one of the tools God allowed, God used. And pandemic is not this is not the first pandemic in human history. If you look at the history, there are many of them. Even in the very first century, during the Roman Empire, God used pandemic to bring His people back, to spread the gospel. The very famous pandemic in the second century is Antonin plague of the second century. A lot of people died because of that. But then the Christians, Christianity was spread because of that pandemic. Noah, God sent disaster to him, storms, a fish to swallow him so that he can be aligned with God's purpose again. In the first century, when the church was first formed, and Christians are really closely knitted together, to really enjoy being together, like our fellowships, holy huddle, they call. But God sent them persecution. And it is the persecution that dispersed the Christians to different parts of the land, and the gospel was spread. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 says, therefore, quote unquote, the bracket, the results of the persecution. Those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Those who were scattered went everywhere preaching God's word. So God makes something bad, persecution, become for good, the gospel being spread. So today, you have to ask yourself first, and then we ask the church, do you love God? Is Christ in you? Today I ask you to come up here, would you have something to share that God has done this in my life recently, in the last few days, in the last few weeks? Or you're nothing to share like many of us normally do. We know a lot of knowledge, but we have nothing to share about what God has done in my life. Are you just walking in your own will? Or are you walking in His purpose? If you are, amen, then you can see the good of all this happening around us now. There's disaster everywhere. This is a crisis, but it is for good. So I ask myself first, what good is this for me? I'm a pastor. Now I cannot be with my all my people that I really miss. I like to be with people. That's why I picked the location of my church office. I like people to be walking past my door day and night. I like people coming in. I like kids. You all know that. I love them. I like to sitting with the seniors. I like to join the praise and dance when they are here, when they were still here. I like to be with people. But now, what good is this to me as a pastor? Now I can only see my sheep on the screen. I can count many things that God is good for me, that is. First, I realized that I'm not young anymore. I suddenly realized that I'm not young anymore. Because every day when I watch the news, the news always say that, no, if you are old, certain age, you should stay home. If you're young, you stay apart. And old, I fell into the group of the vulnerable group. You're the vulnerable group. So that the news keep reminding me that I'm part of the vulnerable group. That I am not young anymore. I've been serving in this church for many years now. And sometimes you don't realize that actually people do get old. No one is exempted. And I am getting old as well. But sometimes I forget that, I have to say. I still thought that I'm 25 years old and running around. And we have to, all of us, including myself, we have to count our days. Psalm 90, 12. Psalm 90, 12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I ask the Lord to help me once again in this crisis, a time that we all, I think, all have to pause, we evaluate our life, our purpose in life, our life goal, our aim. Count our days. Don't think that you are young. You have lots of days. You do not know. You do not know. You are old. But I find that a lot of the retired people actually are very busy. Before, when I ask them, now that you're retired, can you help at church? No, I'm really busy. I have to go on a cruise. And I guess now they don't want to go on cruise now. I have to go to this and to travel. We're all very busy. But now is the time for us to take a pause and count our days. Life is short. We are fragile. We are volatile. We don't know tomorrow. And I want to thank God that now I have more time to reflect, because the Bible keeps telling us that when will God heal the land? I think I've been preached this more than once. God will heal the land when people repent. When we repent, God's healing will come. But the repentance starts with me, with you, each one of you. I spend time each day to repent. And I think I've shared with you before that in the last 2 years, we went to a renewal conference in Winnipeg for 2 years. And in the conference, we were sort of led to repent, repent, and repent. And then we got a list of things, sins that we have to repent every day. So now I took out that list again from my bookshelf, and then I gone through the list every day and asked myself, I need to repent all the sins so that I can be set free. Sins of anger, arrogance, greed, hatred, materialism, pride, procrastination. Procrastination is a sin, okay? Unbelief, unforgiveness, bitterness, quarreling, arguing with people, lustful thoughts, and the last one, workaholic. My goodness, workaholic is a sin, so I better watch out. It's a time, I thank God, that I can reflect and repent again. And I thank God that I can now spend more time with Cynthia, Simo, and the two children. Our house is really small. That's why we cannot invite people to come. Our kitchen is so small that it can only sit 4 people. And I usually sit at the inside. So once we sit down, I cannot come out and get my second bowl of rice. So I always only have one bowl of rice, big bowl. That's how small our house. Now we're all inside, locked inside this small house. And thank God, then I can see my two children. So Chris and Grace cannot run away from me now. Our house is so small, they have no place to hide. And I thank God that I can have more time with Cynthia. Since we are married, we always serve together as a team, as two people. Only until I became a senior pastor, then Cynthia stay at the Mandarin to continue to support the Mandarin ministry, and also well, as a liaison, so I know what's going on with the Mandarin. And then I focus on English and Cantonese. So we are not together that often now at church. So now God give me this opportunity that Cynthia and I can stay home, and then she may be working on her computer, joining the online meeting with the Mandarin prayer like last night or this past week. So she was on the Mandarin prayer meeting, I was on the Cantonese. So I thank God that I can spend more time with Cynthia. And I thank God that now I'm planning to spend to call up my two younger sisters again, now that I should spend time to connect with people. And I thank God that now I appreciate more things that we have, the food that we have. We appreciate more the toilet paper. Don't use it more carefully. Don't waste toilet paper. You may not be able to get another pack in time. Don't waste the food because we don't want to go to the grocery store that often. We want to eat everything that's left over. We want to waste. Just like in the Gospel of John, 6, chapter 12, after Jesus fed the 5,000, when they were filled, I read it from the modern English then, and when they had enough, Jesus said to his disciples, "Take up the broken bits which are over, so that nothing may be wasted." I like this modern English. It's called Bible in basic version. And when they had enough, Jesus said to his disciples, "Take up the broken bits which are over, so that nothing may be wasted." Now I'm more precious, careful with leftover food, not waste. This is something good that I learned. So I thank God that I have improved my social media skills. Now I know how to host online meetings. My goodness, that's a big improvement for me. I still worry that I may delete all the participants, or I may mute people, or mute myself, and then I realize that after my sermon, I never turn on the mic, and then I have to preach again. So I worry about all these things. So that is a lot of stress for the pastors. Most of the pastors, as you know, are senior, more seniors, and we are not exactly very good with all these online tools. So that added a lot of stress, not on the sermon itself, but on the equipment. But I thank God that now we are able to use all these latest technologies, so-called. And I realized that there are actually more people watching our online, our YouTube sermons than the number of members we have. So obviously somebody walked into there either by mistake or they Google my name and then end up there. Whatever, they have a chance to listen to God's word. And I thank God for that. And then we start talking, maybe this is our new mission field. We should start exploring into online evangelism, online to reach out to more people. So we use all our wisdoms, like in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. When we preach, warning every man and teach every man in all wisdoms, we will use our wisdom, continue to serve the Lord. And I thank God that in during this difficult time, challenge, that all the church leaders are working closer together to continue to fulfill our vision, unified in Christ for the mission of God. When we are working in the church, we have a staff meeting on Wednesday, once a week. Then most of the time, other time, we just work in our own office, we're busy with our own stuff, we're always busy. But now, physically, we cannot be together, so we meet every day, every morning except Monday. So every morning, we'll meet together online to pray, to share, to plan, to help each other. And we have spent more time together as a team. And every Sunday afternoon, when all the church programs, actually our church program haven't decreased, Sunday, we are still very busy with kids worship, the three other worships, Sunday schools. And this Sunday, Today, please stay behind for the English prayer meeting. So Sunday afternoon, then all the pastors, spouse of the pastors, and the elder and their spouse, we all join together, have another worship in the afternoon just to support each other. So I thank God that we are actually closer together than before. Isn't this interesting? When you are in a building, actually we don't talk that much. But now we cannot be together. So God used this opportunity to bring us together even more. And I thank God that more people are actually coming to prayer meetings online. And I hear more people praying in the fellowships. And people are more at this urgency to pray to God. So when the time becomes difficult, people look up. And I thank God that people are turning to prayers. And as you know, VCAC, from day one, when Pastor Chow was here, our church was built from day one on prayers. And I think we have slowly lost some of their vision. So I pray that through this crisis that all of us can go back to prayer. We need prayers to support each other, to support the church. And we need to pray for the world, pray for God's healing. And I thank God in this time, like in Psalms 107, verse 6. Psalm 107:6. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Psalm 107:6. They cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and he delivered them from their distress. I thank the Lord through this pandemic. I am spending more time, me and Simo spend more time praying. The church is spending more time in praying. This is God's blessing. And I thank God in this pandemic that our members actually told us that they miss the church. You don't, as a pastor, you don't hear that too often. Very seldom someone will tell you that I miss the church, because they can come to church anytime they want. And one brother told me that in the past, when there's a crisis in life, then they would come to church. But now there's a crisis, and they cannot come to church. So he said he's really lost. So this never happened before. I mean, when there's a trouble, challenge, then he would come to church and ask for us to pray. But now he cannot come to church. So last Sunday, the English has our first online worship service. 80 of you were there. And I can see the joy in some of your eyes. And actually, I felt this joy that even though we are not physically together, but I can sense this joy over the internet, that everybody is really happy that they can be even connected just to see the face, the little tiny screen, a picture box on the screen. But we know that we are together in spirit at that moment, for that hour in the worship. And I can see the joy. So last Sunday is the first day in this 3 weeks' time when I finished all the programs. I felt a relief. Actually, I felt this joy in my heart, that because I can now connect it with 80% of the sheep, the members. And I hope that when this is over, I hope that people, our members, will treasure the worship more often. That all of you will come on time, 9:30, not 10 o'clock when this is over. That people will more treasure the fellowships. Join a fellowship, join a small group. And I'm sure you will. We already talking about how we should resume church meetings, how we should gather, have a celebration, but that is not something that we are planning now. But I thank God that we are able to be connected. And I thank God that actually the last week, as we start going through our name list. So we have set up most of the meetings now. But we are not satisfied with all these online meetings. Now we want to look for the ones that are missing. Or we think that they're missing, but maybe they are watching our YouTube sermons, we don't know. But we want to be able to connect everybody if we can. And then we got a long list. So the pastor is going to start calling each one. So we want to be connected. And then I'm going through the list every day. Now, I thank God that I can now look at everybody's name. And we share the name list. So I have a list that I have to call. You may be one of the ones I'm going to call. So I thank God that in this crisis we can now pay more attention to each individual. Even people who saw on a Sunday, that we want to be connected with them again. I thank God that our community, BC, people in the city, I think through this pandemic, we are more connected. So every 7 o'clock, you will hear people banging their pots, their horns, and to cheer the frontline health workers. I mean, you don't see this happen very often in Vancouver, in BC, at least in this city. But the whole BC, we see that people are more supporting each other, more united to fight this pandemic. So there's something good over this. It's for good. And I pray that this good thing will also happen to other countries, to the world, that through this challenging time, that people will see that we are so fragile. Our military power cannot help us. Our wealth cannot help us. Our billion-dollar medical system cannot help us. Just a little virus will basically destroy all our systems, our strength, our walls, our battleships, our aircraft carriers. In front of God, we are actually nothing. We are living by His mercy. Once we remove that mercy, we are nothing. We are just nothing. But for us to see this ultimate good, to be in God's ultimate plan, let us once be reminded, all things work together for good for those who love Him, for those who are willing to walk in His purpose, in His plan. If you're outside, I'm sorry to say that, even though you are Christian, if you're outside, you're not connected with God, you're nominal Christian, you refuse to listen to Him, you will be like other people. You may live in fear. You may be despair. You'll find this time difficult. You will not see the good God is making out of this. So, first thing I urge brothers and sisters to do, reveal our life. How much do you love God? Is Christ living in you? Repent. Repent and align yourself with God's plan in your life. It is the time for you to reflect, repent, and revive. There's winter and there's summer. Winter, summer, then we have four seasons each year. There's night and there's day. It's all days we cannot sleep. It's all night, we cannot work. So there's night, day, there's desert, there's fruitful field, there's mountains, and there's a valley. And when we put all together, it's a beautiful, beautiful world. God created a beautiful world. It's man who alien from Him, deviate from His plan, deviate from His purpose. And God now wants us to be aligned again. Salt is good. It adds taste to our food. But what is salt made up of? Salt made up of two elements, sodium chloride. Sodium by itself is poisonous. chloride, we know chlorine chloride is not any better. It also can kill. But when we put sodium and chloride together, it becomes salt. It adds flavor to our food. The pandemic itself is nothing good out of it. It's deadly. It's scary. But when we put the pandemic in God's overall picture, in the greater eternal scheme of things, then we can see the good of it. That's if you love God, and that's if you are living according His purpose in your life.